Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I still don't think he's going to be at that MVP level that he was 2 years ago, but that's not a bad thing either. He cannot turn the football over 21 times like he did last year, and I don't think he's going to.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365, a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 after our long weekend. Joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. How you doing after a nice long weekend?
I'm enjoying the last bits of summer I'll probably ever have, because it seems like the NFL is going to change everything in terms of offseason.
I just saw that. I was going to, kind of breaking this could be our last ever OTA. Could be. In 2025, the NFL Players Association is working to finalize a proposal to overhaul the offseason, eliminating voluntary on-field work in the spring in favor of a longer training camp ramp-up, with players reporting in mid-June to early July. Mid-June, that seems lengthy. I don't know if they're going to go for that.
Yeah. I wouldn't go for that.
My guess is if they do that, they would be starting really slow. I mean, a couple,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, ramp up period would be pretty significant. Essentially, OTAs, the difference would be the players would have to be there. No voluntary aspect. It's just breaking that it's out there, Jeff. Your first impressions, if that's the way it goes.
Well, if I was a player, I wouldn't be too crazy about it. I think a lot of the players enjoy having a 5 to 6 week like kind of grace period where they don't have to worry about football. I mean, you're still training for the season, but it's not like you get to spend time with families and stuff. If you're going in mid-June, early July, you're kind of giving all that up. It's more like a heat acclimation period. And like you said, John, they have to be there. During this time, they don't have to be there right now. And it's more of a luxury if they're there. Like, it shouldn't impact your – I mean, if you're a Darius Slay, you really don't have to be there. But, like, Kaylee Ringo right now, yeah, you probably would have to be there.
He wasn't. Talk about Kaylee a little bit. I'm glad you brought him up. But before we get into that, I'm with you. Plus – maybe a selfish reason we do this show, it's nice to have, even though we're only in there for one day, it's nice to have something tangible to talk about, as opposed to all the speculation that downtime sort of highlights or amplifies, I guess is a better word. It's nice to see people on the field, even if they aren't doing full football work. You get to see, you know, we got some nice little depth chart notes at OTAs last week as an example.
You know, I enjoyed how we were able to see the whole thing last week. I thought that was very informative. You know, we got a lot of observation. Like you said, John, we got the depth chart stuff. It's you couldn't over-evaluate things, but you could see like, oh, okay, Quinyon Mitchell, he's probably going to be a player. You know, he at least looked it against the second team. Devin White had a good showing. You know, they're you know, I kind of liked what the little I saw at Jalix Hunt. Britton Covey I liked. You know, Kenny Pickett had a nice practice. It's cool to see. You know, by the way, so it's still kind of surreal seeing Saquon Barkley wearing an Eagles uniform.
Yeah, getting outplayed by Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, I thought Kenny Pickett was outplaying Jalen Hurts.
He was. He was at OTA. Yeah. Yeah, the first team wasn't that great. Now, Devontae wasn't there. It's interesting because we use that term voluntary, and it is truly voluntary for entrenched veteran players. Like Bletcher, used to always say, like to pop his head in. He'd be there some days. He'd be there. He wouldn't be there other days. You mentioned Slay, you know, Brandon Graham, veteran guys who like to be involved. That's a luxury. James Bradbury, for obvious reasons, wasn't there, doesn't need to be there. Would have shocked me if he was there. But Kaylee Ringo, that raised my – it's like, what are you doing, dude? You got a chance to compete, and you should be there, I think.
Is there any reason we've heard why he wouldn't be? Like, I don't want to make an assumption that maybe something went happen in his family or whatever the case may be. But if you just missed a miss, especially at that position when you're a second year guy trying to fight in a 13 cornerback room, I don't understand that for the life of me.
That's why I kind of limited it to, okay, well, maybe he does have something going on in the family.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have been there all the other practices. We just don't know. But you know, from what we got to see, it's okay. Isaiah Rodgers had an opportunity to impress, and impress he did. And, you know, maybe I'm giving, you know, maybe I'm overreacting to Isaiah Rodgers here a little bit, but I think he moved it back up the depth chart just based on one practice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got an opportunity because Bradbury wasn't there, Ringo wasn't there, Ricks got hurt early in the practice, tweaked something. And all of a sudden he's starting, hasn't been on a football field in 500 days, whatever it was, when he got injured at the end of his tenure in Indianapolis, and he looks sharp. That's what I said. Guys look sharp. Kenny Pickett looks sharp. Doesn't mean he's better than Jalen Hurts. Isaiah Rodgers looks sharp. Devin White looks sharp. Kenny Gainwell looks sharp. Britton Covey looks sharp. Anybody I'm missing, Jeff?
You named most of the guys. Oh, Quinyon Mitchell. He looked pretty
good. Quinyon looked very sharp, especially for a rookie.
And, you know what? I actually thought Will Shipley and Cooper DeJean looked pretty sharp, honestly, for two
weeks. Cooper, I thought Will struggled. He was fighting the football as a
pass. Oh, yeah. You know what? He had that drop. That's right. Yeah. I remember I put that.
Oh, he also had the bobble, too. And he brought it. He caught it, but you know, that's not what you want from you want to catch the ball cleanly. So I think he's going to have some ramp up because he had a lot of drops at Clemson. But yeah, those were the players. Cooper, you know, and you could tell they think Cooper's capable of handling a lot. Starting him at nickel corner, moving him outside. So they think he's going to be very versatile. Quinyon and Slay talked about his off-ball coverage, his, you know, off, you know, basically eyes on the quarterback. He's tremendous at that. And he has a natural instinct for it. So all positive signs with Quinyon Mitchell as well, but you don't even get to see the offensive line, the defensive line. It's a glorified passing camp. So when you talk about the edge rushers, you mentioned Jalix Hunt a little bit. All we got to see is guys in coverage. That's it. They're not rushing the passer, so it's not impactful. We can't tell if Bryce Huff is going to be what the Eagles think he is as a pass rusher. We can tell you that Vic is going to use the hook defender, the flat defender, whatever you want to call it, probably more than it had been, which isn't going to be popular, but it's going to be a part of this defense.
Yeah, and I think that's the benefit of 7-on-7 too, right? So the only time we really got to see the offensive line was an individual stuff, and I remember Ed Kratz and I were going over and looking to see the depth chart, and all of a sudden, like, that was broken up right away. So they clearly didn't want to give anything away there, or they did, and we were just watching something else.
Yeah, Matt Hennessy lined up as the second team right guard, which was a little bit of a surprise to me because I thought he'd be the backup center. So it's an indication to me Brett Toth was the backup center.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a luxury of the 90-man offseason roster. Like, you could put Hennessy at right guard for now and use Toth or Dylan McMahon as a backup center and just get through practice and make sure Tyler Steen has some competition. So I think that's what's going on with Matt Hennessy. And they don't want to just hand the job to Tyler Steen, but clearly they want him to win it. There's no doubt about that. Can he win it?
Yeah, I got to remind myself too to take a picture of Mekhi Becton for our Twitter fam next practice, because that man is huge.
Yeah, big dude. He was the first team right tackle.
Yeah,
because Lane was not there. So that's how this stuff works.
And he has played right tackle in the past. So I actually think Becton's going to be a really good signing for them just for tackle depth.
No, I agree with that.
I'm curious how long they'll try and keep Becton around. I know he's on a one-year deal, but he's with Stoutland now, so I feel like, you know, he's a guy that has a lot of inherent talent. Maybe Stoutland can bring that out of him, and maybe they try and keep him around with a, you know, a nice, a good friendly deal, paying him good money to keep him as a backup, basically waiting in the wings for Lane Johnson to hang him up. I think that's something I'd be keeping my eye on.
We think that there's a potential they try him at guard at some point.
I think he's too big. Just listening, big, even just man. Listening yeah. to you guys.
That's,
like
that's all I think too.
I saw a tweet. You know, he's as big as Jordan Mylott. Like,
Hurts is going to need a
5-7 step drop just to be able to see over these
I mean
guys.
that you know, people point out Mekhi's listed as 6'7", and
I think he's taller.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And Tyler Steen 6'5", Landon 6'6", and you say, well, what's the difference? And I've heard fans say that legitimately. He's just bigger. I mean, I don't care what it says. He blocks out the sun. And I think that creates some issues when you're looking for passing lanes. It's Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, isn't that Justin Herbert 6'6" quarterback who can just see over people. He needs throwing lanes. I just don't see it. And for him as well, he's a tackle. So you have to play inside.
He's never played a down of guard in his football career.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that easy of a switch if I'm not.
No.
And the one you're working with a lot more space, guard, especially when you're a guy that's big. Like, when you're that big, you value that space.
Oh, and
now you're going to stuff him in between. Yeah, I mean.
By the way, I got a picture of Mekhi. You can't tell how big he is, but he's
send
big.
It to me, Johnny Mac. I can put it up.
I'm trying to find it, but if something went wrong, if Mekhi Becton has to start a guard, I mean, it's got to be Tyler Steen, and if it's not Tyler Steen, it's got to be Matt Hennessy. That's how I look at it.
From which is why you brought in Matt Hennessy as early as you did in free agency. Because he was going to start on Atlanta's offensive line last year before he got hurt. And Atlanta ended up having one of the best offensive lines in football.
Yeah, he played very well before the injuries. Now, you know who else they brought in who played very well before the injuries and won a starting job? Justin Evans.
Yep.
And he lasted 4 games until the injuries started again. And he never made it back. So, roll the dice and you can hope, but hope is not a strategy, as they say.
Did Justin Evans end up signing anywhere? I don't think he did.
No. Well, I mean, not yet, but, and I don't even know where he is if he wants. And he had a lot of injury issues, to the point where, you know, even more than a guy like Hennessy, who essentially got 2 years wiped out with knee injuries. He's had multiple injuries, but I think people forget when Justin Evans, he was a second round pick and he was a starter in Tampa Bay and he looked like he was going to be a really good player. And then the injury started. And last year was a knee and he never came back. It was October 13th and he never came back.
And it was a shame because I thought in the first game against the Patriots when I rewatched it, I actually thought he played pretty well.
Yeah. All year, all off season last year, I said, boy, Terrell Edmonds doesn't make a lot of sense for this defense because they went coverage safeties. Terrell Edmonds was that big. But, you know, he's a former first round pick, not former, breaking my own rule. He's a first round pick. Yeah. It was a first round pick, and everybody's like, Terrell Edmonds. And then all of a sudden at the end of training camp, one day, Justin Evans with the starters. We all shown the side that day.
That was the Cleveland practice.
Yeah. And what this was part of the plan. I'm like, it wasn't part of the plan, dude. You don't start this late. And he just won it because they wanted a coverage safety. And that's what they want in this defense. And that's what Vic wants as well. So it's a, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson back. That's a good sign for the Eagles defensively. How worried are you about N'Kobe Dean, though? We were talking about that from the linebacker perspective. The more he's out, and there's no reason to push him. Like, if he's not back for OTAs, I don't think he's going to be back. I don't think he's going to be back this week. He's probably not going to be back for minicamp. And that lets Devin White play middle linebacker, and that puts Zach Bond on the field. And if they make Vic Fangio happy, could we be? Because N'Kobe's been penciled in forever. Everybody assumes it's going to be N'Kobe and whomever. Is it still that case, Jeff?
I'm starting to just give N'Kobe Dean the label he's always hurt. It doesn't matter how you evaluate him. You're always just going to say he's always hurt. And look, you know, I'm not the biggest Devin White fan, but I'll be the first one to Devin White looked pretty good last week playing the mic. And I think that was an opportunity for Devin White to get that opportunity there and for Vic to play Zach Bond. And, you know, Vic wasn't kidding around when he mentioned inside linebacker and Zach Bond came into play. You know, that wasn't a reaction. It turns out they want to try him out there. So, look, I still say training camp's going to be the ultimate decider, but for a guy who's barely seen the field in year one and was hurt a lot in year two, you think N'Kobe Dean would be healthy enough to be available for OTAs to get these valuable reps because you're not getting them in early July. So, I mean, you know, I'm not saying jobs can be taken.
Well, is that precaution good because they want to keep N'Kobe as healthy as possible? Or
I wouldn't put him on the field personally. I wouldn't put him on the field, but as I'm looking at it from the journalistic perspective here, you know, it just seems like, okay, this guy's hurt again, and it's meant.
Well, he's not hurt again. It's the same injury. He's rehabbing. He's coming back from the Lisfranc surgery. He's just, they're not putting him back on the field yet. He was stretching, and so he's getting closer.
Is that about a normal timeline for that type of injury?
Well, that's a significant injury.
And to Jeff's point, I know, John, you keep saying it's the same injury, but boy, it feels like he's always hurt. Whether it's the same one or not, it's definitely the same one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know a lot of people don't care. They think he's hurt again. He's not hurt again. He's coming back from surgery from the Lisfranc, which is a very serious injury. But guys have made it back and they've been fine. I mentioned his problem with footwear, which is weird, but he seems to have figured something out there. That concerns me. If you go all the way back to the draft, he fell to the third round because a bunch of teams were concerned about a shoulder problem being chronic, which ironically showed up with Nolan Smith.
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
I get why people question it because they haven't seen it, but I tweeted a picture of him, or X'd, or whatever you do now, a picture of him stretching, and I mentioned that he wasn't going to be participating in team drills, and people lost their minds. He's hurt again, and he's not hurt again. He's coming back from a surgery, and he's nearing the final phases. But from my perspective, did the Eagles want to push him onto the field for this? Because it's
I mean, I'd rather just see him in July.
But maybe the Eagles don't, but if I'm the Kobe Dean, I'm doing everything I can to get back on the field as quickly as possible, because he's close to becoming an afterthought.
Well, that's my thing. Is that a positive or is it a negative? Like, yeah, if the Eagles are being extra cautious, no, I get it from a fan base perspective. They see it as a negative. But if the Eagles are being an extra cautious because they value him, it could be a positive, is what I'm trying to say. That so, they're being extra cautious.
Do we think, though, and again, this has been my biggest issue with the whole Nakobe Dean thing the last, like, 2 years. They never seem to bring in legit competition for him. But now might have that now with Devin White. Is that possible?
It is. Well, that's what I brought up. You know, if you're not out there and Devin White is running with Saquon Barkley and everybody thinks Saquon Barkley's Christian McCaffrey, that's going to be a positive.
Eagles think he's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, and that's going to be a positive in his column. And then if he's playing middle linebacker and he's handling everything from a communication standpoint to big satisfaction, I don't think N'Kobe's going to play weak side linebacker.
No, it's Mike or nothing. And it to me, my biggest takeaway was just based on one practice, Devin White's going to play somewhere at linebacker. It's just where.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's good either. It's a bad position.
Yeah, it's a bad position. That's why I said if Devin White can perform at all, it's a big win for the team because there's nobody at linebacker. There's nobody competent.
But by the way, I've never seen a city or an organization just kind of kick the door on Devin White or don't let the door hit you on the way out like Tampa Bay did with Devin White.
Yeah, which might tell you all you need to know. And fans don't want to look at that yet, which I'm fine with. I'm a fan too, and I get it. I'm hopeful for the guy. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy that was taken fifth overall. They picked up his fifth-year option too, which – when I look back at it, I don't understand why they did it. If they were just going to sit him in that year, they paid him, you know, $15 or $17 million to sit. But they clearly had some level of expectation or hope for the player to pan out, and maybe even gave him every opportunity to do so. And
I mean, he didn't do it. They just like benched him in December.
That's what I mean. If I'm not mistaken, Jeff, it was for an undrafted free agent. I think. I mean, they didn't put it. It's not like they had a first round pick waiting in the wings for him. But Jeff, I want to move on. I want to ask about
they definitely didn't have the number 5 overall pick waiting in the wings.
No, they did not. I want to ask Jeff about Jalen Hurts. And no, this question does not involve Kenny Pickett. But I do want to ask your comfort level going into the season with him. He's been getting a little bit of the national shows, Emmanuel Acho, Dan Orlovsky, even.
They were at Eagles minicamp this week.
No, they weren't, but they're making commentary on Jalen Hurts, and I just want to gauge where you are on Jalen Hurts, what your comfort level is going into the season, and what you want to see from him. Like I think we need to see another big step forward here to get this team back in contention. He's got the contract, he's got all the weapons around him. Now he's got a coaching staff that's more proven or at least has more experience. It's all there for Jalen Hurts. What does he have to do for you?
I still don't think he's going to be at that MVP level that he was 2 years ago. But that's not a bad thing either. He cannot turn the football over 21 times like he did last year. And I don't think he's going to. I think what you're going to see is a mix of that MVP form and a guy who's just not going to turn the football over enough. And if the Eagles let Jalen be Jalen, meaning let this guy take off, let this guy use his strengths, I think he can be, at the very least, a top 10 quarterback. I think if he's in that 6-10 range, you're getting exactly what you need from Jalen Hurts. It doesn't put the sky high expectations on him. Look, I don't think he's a Mahomes or an Allen or a Burrow, but it could be that next tier. And there's nothing wrong with that because that can get you a Super Bowl. You just need a guy who's going to help you win football games. He did a lot of that from
Yeah, he won a lot of games. Yeah. I think people forget.
Yeah, it was funny. I was actually looking this up. John, do you know who Bob Petrone is? Used to work for the
NFL. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Boop Stats.
Boop Stats. So Boop put out a tweet, and I thought it was very interesting because we were looking up like 29-6 runs of Philadelphia sports. People seem to forget the Eagles had a 29-6 run from 2021 to 2023 before the whole losing skid. So the Eagles have won a lot with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but it's also a what have you done for me lately type of league, and that's how a lot of people perceive the league. I tend to think that that's correct. I'm not going to live in 2022 forever. I'm not going to talk about 2022 another year. Now's the time for Jalen Hurts. Like if I'm a quarterback in the NFL, there's not anything else I could ask for from Jalen Hurts. Is there anything else? You could argue Josh Allen could ask for a better O-line or better weapons, and Mahomes needs better receiver. Jalen Hurts needs nothing. What more do you need if you're Jalen Hurts to
succeed? A better O-line? Jason Kelce?
Can't go there, Jeff. I'm sorry, I can't go there.
I don't know what Tyler Steen is.
Question. You know what I find ironic about most of the Jalen Hurts haters, if that's what you want to describe them, and I'm not sure.
I don't know if they're all haters. I think there's some maybe that are.
Or Dan, and who's Emmanuel Acho.
Oh, I think Emmanuel Acho is a hater.
But they seem to all want to turn him into Brock Purdy, and they want to make him a point guard. And like,
he's not a point guard.
Exactly.
Yeah, but part of that is why I don't get the – I don't understand fully the philosophy of team building on offense. Yeah, they have a bunch of weapons, but –
Well, that's what I don't understand about, and I know people get pissed at me. I don't understand about the running back nonsense about you got to get them involved in the passing game. Oh, let's, you know, occasionally you're going to do it. We saw it, you know, they ran a little motion play, used Barkley as a decoy to get Kenny Gainwell the ball, which I kind of snickered at. Get the ball out of your hand to the running back. What are we doing here?
Well, that's what I mean, John. Aren't the Eagles supposed to take advantage of the strengths?
It goes back to the PR thing, man. I'll end it there since we don't have that much time. But at Jeff Kerr CBS, you can follow Jeff as you see there on X. Read him at CBSSports.com. But did you see Bill Barnwell's little thing on the Eagles, Jeff? He started out with your guy, unfortunately, Saquon, brought up the injury history, high ankle sprain last season, hit rate on second contracts for running backs, all the stuff we know, all the stuff the Eagles believed in right up until this offseason.
Yeah, right up until Saquon Barkley became that.
Yeah. You know, the coordinators, we all know why they were blown out. Somebody's got to pay the piper for the collapse. As everything he said, so much of what Philadelphia has done this offseason feels like a reaction to what went wrong down the stretch during its brutal end to 2023, which in some ways is common sense. But is it an overreaction?
I don't think it's an overreaction. They got rid of what they felt was a problem in the locker room with some of their players. I think they brought in a lot of culture guys. Not saying Devin White's one of those culture guys. I don't know. I think that's a lottery ticket you're hoping
Saquon
that.
Saquon is.
Yeah. Well, Quez Watkins ain't here anymore, so there's part of that.
Yeah, I think the Saquon signing, though, John, to your point about people trying to turn him into Brock Purdy, I think the Eagles kind of helped that narrative with the way they built the team. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, do the Eagles want him to be Brock Purdy? I don't want him to be Brock Purdy. I don't think you guys want him to be Brock Purdy.
I think it's not going to
work. Is there something I'm missing here? Does Howie Roseman want him to be Brock Purdy?
Why do we overreact to, and I'm not saying us, I'm just saying the NFL, why do they want their quarterbacks to be a guy who really has only done this for, what, 18 games? I know it's been very impressive, but this can fall flat too.
I think it's more about the way he utilizes the talent around him. And then you look at the Eagles roster and you're like, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith.
But what's going to happen on the day when you lose that talent? What's going to happen when you're going to have to pay him? And then all of a sudden, Deebo Samuel doesn't want to be here anymore. Brandon Ayuk already kind of doesn't want to be there. Like, it's going to come to a halt. Everybody says Eagles have to win the Super Bowl. No, you know the team that has to win the Super Bowl this year? The San Francisco 49ers.
That's true. That's a fair point, but it doesn't take away from the conversation of is that why the Eagles are, is that why people are trying to turn Jalen Hurts to Brock Purdy? Because they're built this in a very similar way, contracts, caps aside. You know, you have all these talent. Me and John argued about this with Saquon Barkley a little bit. Like, they're not going to use Saquon Barkley like most people think they're going to use Saquon Barkley. It's probably going to look different than the majority of expectation on Saquon Barkley, because that's just not our quarterback style. They're not going to use him anything like the Niners use McCaffrey. I don't think they are.
I'm just hoping the old football philosophy comes into play here, where teams aren't trying to stack the box to kind of stop Jalen Hurts running and Saquon Barkley running, because you have to fear feared at, and Jalen Hurts finds his receivers early, and then all of a sudden you can't do that, and now that frees up Saquon Barkley in the second half. I still think that one of the biggest problems with the Eagles last year was it just didn't have a closer in the fourth quarter. They didn't blow leads, but they didn't have a closer either. And that's why I thought, like, maybe the game against the Giants on Christmas, it should have been a bigger win than it was, or, you know, the Cardinals game. It just felt like they couldn't run the ball in the second half like they normally could.
I think it's going to be the same stinking offense, except what you're right, Jeff. They're going to try to, you know, run the football with Saquon to close out games in a more consistent manner. I think the passing game is going to look very familiar. Maybe a little bit more motion, maybe a little bit more bells and whistles, maybe some more bunch formations instead of two by two. But ultimately, they're going to be the same. They're not going to be jumping it off to the running back. They're going to throw bubble screens because that's what they do. They're going to try to push the football down the field. But this mentality of, yeah, I didn't pay the guy $255 million to get the football out of his hands as quickly as possible. This whole mentality of take advantage of the player you have. And right now, I think there's this whole ecosystem developing around Jalen Hurts that he needs all this help. And he's not the guy making all the plays that we saw make all the plays. I don't get it.
Well, from that perspective, that's kind of why I'm like, I think that's where everyone's going, John, to your point. And if you did pay $255 to Jalen and you don't want him to be that guy, then forget Saquon Barkley. Go and sign a sick linebacker or the safety that was signed for $17 million, I'm blanking on his name, from the New York Giants. Like, go and bolster the defense. Yeah, Xavier McKinney.
They did try to get Xavier McKinney. He just didn't come.
Well, yeah, and he was probably outside their price range. But my point is, if you're paying Jalen Hurts and you're confident in Jalen Hurts to utilize the weapons, go bolster everything else. But they seem to just keep adding to the room, keep adding weapons. There's still only one football, guys. You know, newsflash, there's still only one ball.
I can't wait till this part next year when people are getting upset when A.J. Brown's getting like 15 targets a game. I'm like, you don't want A.J. Brown trying to get the football 15 times a game?
I'm with you.
You got to get Anaya Smith in the running back.
Care less if Anaya Smith has a catch this season.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I mean, I don't think they're going to change much to John's point on the passing game. I mean, the receivers did both put up 1,500 and 1,200 or 1,300 yards last year. So I don't think they're trying to reinvent that puzzle, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Xander, I beg your point that there's another guy that they really loaded up his offense for, too, and that was C.J. Stroud. Let's bring in Stephon Diggs. You already got Nico Collins. Yeah. You already got Tank Dell. We got –
Now, Jeff, that's also a situation where they're taking advantage of that rookie contract CJ Stroud, he showed out last year. He showed them more than they were expecting, and they were probably expecting a lot. So they're in a position where they can go all in, and their GM, I think, has done a really nice job down in Houston. So, yeah we'll see how that looks.
I love what basically CJ Stroud said after the Baltimore Houston game. I covered that game, and Stroud's like, okay, I learned what it takes to play in the game like this. I'm curious to see what happens when he gets to that spot next year.
Yep, and he's one of those guys, when he says it, I listen to him. I don't know why. Maybe I shouldn't, but he's one of those guys, when he says it, I believe him. So that's what I take from CJ Stroud. I think he's going to be a great player, and you're right, that's a good team. But Jeff, we went long with you, man. Almost the end of Birds 365 here. We are after the 10 o'clock hour. So thanks for joining in, man. We appreciate your contributions to the show. As always, you always bring it up a notch, and we appreciate you for being here.
Yeah, no problem. I actually forgot I was on at 9:20 today, and I was actually going to text John yesterday, and because I forgot it was Memorial Day, I was already working. I'm like, did I just not get a link? I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's
Memorial Day. I should have said,
asked me to come on. Like, I think
I did the same thing when I was emailing you this morning, Jeff. I typed in 8:20, and then I'm like, oh wait, we got a different guest here. So thanks for being flexible. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday, Jeff. Have a good rest of your day, right, man?
Yep, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Jeff Kerr. Make sure everybody follows Jeff Kerr on Twitter at Jeff Kerr CBS. does a great job for CBS Sports. Always good here on Birds 365. John, any closing thoughts on this Tuesday? We had a long weekend.
No, I'm glad you and Bill kind of perked me up a little bit with the PR aspect, because I think that's been way too much of a thought process for the Eagles in this offseason. And I don't think that's a good thing. When you got rabbit ears and you're trying to satiate critics or whatever you want to describe, I don't think that's a good way to do business. And I think a little bit too much of it has gone on this offseason.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. I want to thank everybody in the chat, even the people who are upset with some of our takes this morning. There's quite a few of them, but that's all right. We're going to keep coming back and giving you the Eagles content every single day for all offseason long. So Eagles back at OTAs today, and then Thursday and Friday they'll be back out on the field. No OTA tomorrow, but Johnny Mack scheduled, at least we think, scheduled to be down there on Thursday. So we will see what else we learn from the OTAs this week. It's been pretty good so far. Johnny Mack, thanks for joining in today on Birds 365. We'll catch you tomorrow morning. All right, man.
All right. Everybody have a good one.
Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you hit the like button on your way out. See you tomorrow.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.